Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. The Chancellor Rishi Sunak took to the TV studios this morning ahead of the spending review next Wednesday. Andrew Marr asked the Chancellor about the UK's overall economic picture.
Where are we now?
Well, we'll get a clear sense next week when we do the spending review, and alongside that, the Independent Office for Budget Responsibility will publish their forecast. But I can tell you it's a very difficult picture. The economy is experiencing significant stress. We've seen that particularly in the labour market with people's jobs. We know that 750,000 people have tragically already lost their jobs, with forecasts of more to come. Borrowing, we saw the numbers last week, at a record peacetime levels already, and more stress to come. It's very sad to see. It's not just numbers on a chart. It's people's lives. It's their livelihood. Their security that's being impacted, and it's something that we're going to grapple with for a while to come, sadly.
One of the measures that has been floated in the drive to bear down on the UK's growing deficit is a return to a pay freeze for public sector workers. Sophie Ridge put it to Sunak that the government was preparing to undergo another round of austerity.
These are people who've been working on the front line during lockdown. You and the Prime Minister have both said you don't want to return to austerity, but for many of these people, the hallmark of austerity was seeing a pay freeze. So if it looks like austerity, if it sounds like austerity, if it feels like austerity, then it is austerity, isn't it?
Well, I don't think that's fair characterisation at all. You will not see austerity next week. What you will see is an increase in the government spending on day-to-day public services, you know, quite a significant one coming on the increase that we had last year. So I think there's absolutely no way in which anyone could say that's austerity. We'll be spending more money on public services than we were. And then, you know, with regard, I can't comment on future pay policy in advance of the spending review, but what I would say is when we launched the spending review, I did say to departments that when we think about public settlements, I think it would be entirely reasonable to think about those in the context of the wider economic climate. I think that's a reasonable thing to do. And then also, secondly, I think it would be fair to also think about what's happening with wages, with jobs, with hours across the economy when we think about what the right thing to do in the public sector is.
So listening to the end part of that answer, are you considering a pay freeze for public sector workers?
As I said, Sophie, I can't comment in advance of pay policy being set at the spending review, and I just point you...
But those you're not ruling it out.
I mean, you can ask me any question and say, are you ruling out, ruling it in? I mean, those are the points I made, you know, when
but
we
you're
launched
talking,
the spending...
You are also talking about fairness, and you said that you're looking at wages and you're looking at what would be the right thing to do there.
As I say, yes, when we launched the spending review, we said when we think about public sector pay, that should be done in the context of the overall economic climate. I think that's an entirely reasonable thing to do. And also, as Francis also talked about fairness, as we discussed, you know, we need to see what's going on with wages, with jobs, with employment, with hours across the economy when we calibrate and figure out what the best thing to do for public sector is as well.
Marr confronted Sunak over the Prime Minister's expression of full confidence in the Home Secretary, Priti Patel, who has been accused of bullying behaviour towards Home Office staff. Patel issued an apology on Friday, saying she had not intended to upset anyone.
You have a very stressful life. Have you ever unintentionally bullied anyone?
Look, obviously bullying is not appropriate and it's not an effective way to get the best out of people.
But if somebody in your office, which is a very, very busy office, was shouting and swearing, would they keep their job?
Look, I don't think shouting is an effective way to get the best out of people, but it is necessary sometimes to be direct in order to drive progress in an organisation, particularly under stressful circumstances. But I think...
We both know we're talking about...
Exactly.
Patel.
So why don't we just address the specific issue? Yeah.
Yes. It is said that the Prime Minister had asked the official concerned in this report to water down the language. Would that have been an appropriate thing to do?
Well, that's not what happened. And the independent advisor conducted a detailed review at the request of the Prime Minister because he takes this matter very seriously, and that's right, because it is a serious issue. And that
review concluded. The findings have been published. The Prime Minister has spent a lot of time considering them in the round, has reached the conclusion that Priti is not a bully, and she has offered a full and unreserved apology for what's happened. And as far as the Prime Minister is concerned, that draws a line under this, and we should get back to focusing on what people want, which is tackling crime and making sure that our communities are safe. And you know, on a personal level, I've worked closely with Priti and found her to be entirely kind and very focused and passionate about what she does.
Ma also interviewed the Shadow Chancellor, Annalisa Dodds. Next week, the government will put forward proposals for England to exit lockdown and return to a tiered system of restrictions. With the government unable to rely on its own backbenchers for support, Ma asked Dodds if Labour would continue to make up the numbers.
There's a lot of worry, particularly among Tory MPs at the moment, about the future for pubs and restaurants if they are forced to stay shut between now all the way through to Christmas. Looking at the numbers, what happens is now dependent upon the Labour Party's votes. Are you going to vote for the government proposals more or less whatever happens?
Well, no, because we need to see the detail of those proposals. As I said, we really expect government needs to have learned from what's happened previously, all the problems we've had previously. We did not have a clear system of restrictions. There was a huge amount of ambiguity. And as I said, the economic support trailed the announcement of those restrictions. That has meant that there's a situation where we've seen record redundancies, actually, across our country over the last quarter. Businesses have gone bust that didn't need to because of those problems. So we expect that the Prime Minister should provide something far more robust on Wednesday.
So last time round, people said that we needed to see the criteria by which these tiers were being decided and there should be local involvement. Presumably that's what you want. If you don't see that, and if you don't see sufficient economic support for the new restrictions, will you join with Tory backbenchers to vote them down?
Well, look, we'll be assessing this very, very carefully. And you're absolutely right. We weren't provided with clear criteria around the conditions under which different areas would be moving into these tiers or out of them. We weren't provided that with that clarity around what support would be there for businesses.
The suspension of Jeremy Corbyn over his reaction to the EHRC report into anti-Semitism has been bitterly dividing the Labour Party. Dodds said that she and Sir Keir Starmer had not had a change of heart over removing the Labour whip.
A former chairman of the party, somebody I'm sure you know well, Ian Lavery, has said that Keir Starmer has a personal and political vendetta against the former leader Jeremy Corbyn.
Well, I don't agree with Ian on that. I agree with him on many other things, but I certainly do not agree with him on that. We need to make sure that we demonstrate as a party to the Jewish community that we have learned from that EHRC report. And let's be absolutely clear what this is about. This is about a political party being investigated, having been found not to have stood up for Jewish people, to have not had those processes to root out anti-Semitism. We have got to deal with this robustly. Keir quite rightly has been dealing with it robustly.
But the consequences for the party might be very serious. It's not just Ian Lavery. The Bakers Union, for instance, has talked about vindictive and divisive attacks and has threatened to disaffiliate. Many people inside the party are talking about Labour descending into civil war. Is it really worth it?
Well, I have to say, for me, the really critical thing is to ensure that we're not in a situation where we're investigated by the Equalities and Human Rights Commission, a body that was set up under Labour for having had processes that allowed racism to continue within our party. That is more important than any other consideration. We cannot continue like that.
It's just that for people watching who don't know the details, this seems like a complete mess. Jeremy Corbyn is an MP. He is removed from the Labour Party or suspended from the Labour Party. He's then brought back into the Labour Party. But because he's not given the Labour whip, he's not a Labour MP. So he's Labour and he's an MP, but he's not a Labour MP. It just looks like a terrible mess.
Well, of course, it's frustrating. I have to say, from my point of view, what I really would have wanted us to be doing, and I know that Keir is in this position as well, is actually getting on with implementing those recommendations. This is about much more than any one person. And actually, the EHRC said very, very clearly that these processes had to be sorted out so they applied equally to everyone. That's what we need to get a grip on. Obviously, the debate is focused around one person now, but it's got to be about the whole system changing so we can show the Jewish community that they can have faith in us, that we will be able to represent them and that they can be members of our party and do so and feel comfortable in our party. That's what we need to do.
The Shadow Business Minister, Lucy Powell, gave her opinion on the potential public sector pay freeze.
When you're in the middle of a crisis, you can't cut your way out of that crisis. And you can't really do that when you're at the beginnings of the recovery either, because you'll choke off the recovery in people stopping going out and spending their money and helping getting the economy going. So yeah, what we've got to remember about the context of this comprehensive spending review is that we are in a much worse position than many of our other counterparts in terms of countries and economies. We've seen the biggest drop in GDP of all of our European competitors, and we're in a much worse position because the government's constant sort of playing catch up and coming to the table too late with support packages and measures. And frankly, a lot of what they're bringing forward doesn't meet the scale of the challenge that we face. So we're in a worse position. And economically, it would be the wrong thing to do to cut back the public finances just at this point in time. But of course, it would be morally, absolutely a kick in the teeth, wouldn't it, for all those frontline workers who've helped support us through this pandemic, from the bin collectors to those working in public health, in the mortuaries, the firefighters and so on. This would be an absolute kick in the teeth for them after what has been a horrendous few months and will still be a difficult few months to come.
And finally, Professor Callum Semple, who is one of the government's advisers on its key SAGE committee, told Ridge that things were still looking positive for families over Christmas.
Is allowing household mixing at Christmas a good idea?
Well, in reality, we cannot ban Christmas. And to do so would just lead to breaches, and what are you going to do about that? So instead, what we're looking at is getting R, if you like, down, but also getting the absolute numbers of cases down. And there's real good news here. Nationally, we're seeing cases in the community fall. And in those areas that went into tier three before lockdown, we're already seeing the tide turning with the number of hospital admissions, and we'll shortly see the deaths reduce as well. So there's every reason to believe that when lockdown is lifted, many areas will be able to go into lower tiers, but some areas will remain in higher tiers. Then you've got this period in the run-up to Christmas, and hopefully, if the system works, we'll be able to relax some regulations for a few days. But there will be a price for that.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.